Welcome to the Purple Saint Show, episode 255. I am Chris. Tony and Fozzie are not here. Jeff is, though.
I am here with probably some background noise.
Yeah, that's alright. And Pete's joining us again.
What's up? There may be background noise. I don't know. I have fans on in my room.
I have an air conditioner going and a girlfriend going.
It's alright. But audio quality is not all, you know, been a high point of this show, so, ever.
It's overrated as it is.
Right.
Just deal with it. The content makes it so much worth, like, going through.
Well, let's jump into that content, because we played the big Nintendo game for, I don't know, I guess the summer.
I was going to say, like, the big for, like, the year? Like, what does that mean?
Could be the biggest of the year.
It could be, yeah, I don't know. There should be some other stuff coming.
Yeah.
Like Star Fox, I think? Is that it?
Star Fox is coming, what, is Xenoblade
Yoshi.
Chronicles?
Yeah. There's other big games, but, like, this is, like... I feel like they put a lot of marketing behind it a little bit, and it seems like they want to get it out there.
Yeah,
sure.
Also, it's their first attempt to do something different, so...
Yeah, it's their first, like, true new IP in a while, like...
Yeah.
They should be congratulated in a way, because it's, like, their first since Pikmin?
That's what I'm thinking, like, they've had other little ones, like on 3DS, like, downloadable games, and, like, Steel Diver, like,
sure.
Is that a new IP? I don't know. Like, and it was, but no one fucking gave a shit.
No.
Nobody gave a shit, or no, it's not a new IP?
No, I don't think anybody gave a shit.
Yeah, it was a new IP by them, but, like, you know, that was, like, a little experiment. This is more, like, them trying to, like... do something here, so.
Yeah, so it came out last Friday. Been out a week now. It's a different shooter.
Yeah.
Multiplayer, team-based. Has a single player that is kind of puzzle-based. It's like a puzzle platformer. Before we jump into the multiplayer, let's talk about single player. Like,
yeah, sure.
It's stage based. You kind of go into a world. You go to each stage, and each stage you have to unlock. You have to like rescue this little like yellow creature thing.
It's like a key or something, isn't it? Usually,
it's like this little.
Oh no, it's a little like light bulb or something.
Yeah, it's like inside the light bulb, and it's like this little sea urchin type thing. You rescue it from, like, these, I can't even remember the name of the enemies, like, they're so memorable. I don't know, like, the puzzles themselves, how to figure out how to work around the environment and take them out as you move from spot to spot, and sometimes it requires you to, like, hit a fan and drop platforms down, or you, like, phase through platforms, because when you go into ink mode or squid mode, you can just... drop through fences and stuff. I've had a lot of fun with it. Jeff, I know you're farther. You said you were on the last boss, so...
I'm still on the last boss.
Yeah, it's evidently a little rough. I'm, like, halfway through, like, the second area. So I think there's, what, four areas?
Yeah, like four or five in
four
total.
Four or five, yeah. So it doesn't seem that long.
It's, like, 27 levels. The levels are, like, kind of, like... You were kind of describing them, but they kind of like remind me of Mario Galaxy, where it's like little islands of platforms.
Yeah, and you gotta
get to the end of one island, you'll like boost and fly to the next island. Mm-hmm. You know, very like small type design on the single player, I guess.
Yeah, they're not huge, but there's some challenge in each of them.
For the longest time, I didn't even know there was a single player, so I guess it's good to know that it's not like tacked on in any way.
Yeah, because if it didn't have a single player, this game would be really, really light. There's six maps and one game mode available to you until you reach level 10.
Well, there was only five maps and
right.
And one game mode no matter what for the first couple days.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a little light on that front. And the way they handle the maps is weird, too, because...
It's really weird.
There's only two available at a time. and it's kind of on like a rotating time basis.
Like every 4 hours, they will have two new active maps, and these like people will come interrupt the game.
So annoying.
To do a news report, and they'll be like, right now, on regular stages, we have these two, and on ranked battles, we have these two. Mm-hmm. Stay fresh! And they do that, like, every 4 hours, or every time you start the game. So if you quit, say you're playing for a little bit, you quit for 5 minutes, come back.
Or you come back, like, it'll give
turn
you
back
report,
on. Right? Yeah, they'll get to do the same, like, little news report.
I was just, like, I was really taken aback where I must have hit that, like, shift change, though, and I was in the middle of a match, and we finished the match, and it said, do you want to keep playing? I hit yes, and it kind of went, it got hung up for a bit, and then it booted me out to, like, news report, and then all the way back to the hub area, which is kind of, like, where you can do everything at. Like, what the hell just happened? yeah, that was really weird.
That, to me, feels a little bit like they're trying to hide the fact that there's only so many maps, so it's like, and also funnel players into, you know, certain matches, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
I'm not sure why that is works that way. And the biggest issue I have with the way they're handling that is I ended up playing 5 straight matches on the same map.
Oh, yeah, you're going to play the same matches over. I probably played a little bit more than you.
Like, that's not, you played, in general, you're double my level, so you've definitely played way more.
You will definitely, like, honestly, though, sometimes, like, when the two maps are up and I get the same 1-5 in a row, I'm like, thank God it's not the other one, because I don't like the other one. So I'm like, all right, that works.
Yeah.
This one I don't like, I forgot. I can't remember the name of it right now.
I like the one with the shipping containers, mackerel something.
That's new. That's the one that they
just... Yeah, I think that's, like, my favorite map right now. Like, I hate the skate park.
No, like, the skate park I like a lot.
Like, I just don't like the curved surfaces, because it makes it a bitch to cover the ground.
Well, you gotta spray up them, and then you have to swim up them. At first, I hated the skate park, but I love the skate park now. Like, that's one of my favorites. That, and, like, I think it's, like, Walleye Factory or some shit.
Is that the one with the elevators?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that one's
it's got,
cool,
like, conveyor belts all over it. Yeah. Like, there's one, it's like, Rig Spray something, or Rig something. That one I don't like. I just don't like the layout of it, because you, like, I don't know, kind of start, both teams kind of start on the same side. I don't know, it's weird, it's hard to explain. But, anyways. Yeah.
So, multiplayer, it's not, the main mode is called Turf War. The objective is to cover the ground with as much paint as possible. And it's, at the end, like, it kind of zooms out, takes a 2D flat image of the area, and whoever has more paint on the ground wins.
Yeah, like, kills and stuff don't count towards anything towards your own XP. It doesn't count towards winning the game.
No.
So the only reason to do that is to just, like, remove people from spraying paint.
If it does become about killing people just to dominate the map, you know, but just if you're playing just, like, looking for kills, you're not doing it right, you know what I mean?
There's so many people not doing it right, though. Like, I mean,
it takes a while to learn, because, and this is one of the things I'm going to say that is really positive about the game, I don't think I've played a game like it before. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it takes a while to figure out, like, a lot of things. The platforming aspect, like, switching between the squid and the human, the objective of the game, you know, it's completely kind of new.
Well, it's, so, I don't know, for me, like, it makes perfect sense to start off by painting your base. Like,
yeah, I've heard there are a lot of people who don't do that, and it drives people nuts.
They run away, and it's like...
No, you don't want to paint your base.
That's free territory.
You get that later. After I die once or twice, then I start, like, filling in the blank spots in the base. What I try to do is run forward, like, so I'm spraying as I run, and I'll dip in the paint and then pop back up. And basically, I'm trying to get as deep in the map as I can, as quick as possible, to dominate the space. You know what I mean? To dominate, like, so them... kind of approach on our territory is going to be harder for them.
All right,
you know what I mean.
So I saw that was kind of the approach that you took in the two matches we just played, well, the one match I played on your team, because it doesn't keep friends together. You pushed all the way out. Like, you were gone. So did everybody else, and our base was just kind of, like, left there.
And did we not destroy?
We did, but then the same exact thing happened on the other team, and they all pushed ahead, and we got destroyed. So I don't think that's a coherent strategy that works all the time. Like, if you're getting destroyed up front and you're still not covering your base, like...
Well, the thing is, if you're just covering your base, and you'll see it at the end of the match, you'll have solid, whatever your color is, for a little square of the map. And that doesn't do shit for you.
I think if two people are pushing up, and this is where the lack of communication in this game totally is annoying, because if you could be like, all right, I'm going to push forward, and I'm going to push forward, and then the other two are like, all right, we're going to paint back, and we're going to cover, then it's so frustrating to see... There's no teamwork at all. Nobody is doing the same thing.
I'm not going to defend the lack of voice chat, because to me, in this game, it would help, in my opinion. But at the same time, like, the map shows you what's happening, essentially. Like, you know, so I've just seen, like, all right, this is where we got to, like, work on this area here, whatever. And you could usually, I don't know if they don't ever tell you this, but you could hop to where your teammates are. You, like, tap on them, and you, like, hop right to them.
Yeah, that's not ever explained. I've seen people, like, do it, but I'm like, I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know if that's something they got with their equipment or what.
You just tap on it anytime.
It's like, why isn't that explained, though? Like,
yeah, that really needs to be explained, like, because that's, like, you don't need to use it, but...
No, but, if you die and, like, that person, you were with that person and you just... Like, you ended up in, like, a two-on-two battle, and you took the two out, but one of you died. You could jump back to where that person is and finish covering that area. Whereas right now, I've been trying to walk my way or swim my way back to where it is, and
well,
by
sometimes
the time I get there, it's like...
sometimes that's better, dude, because sometimes when I hop to where the guy is, they've already killed him, and they're camping that spot, like, waiting for people to jump there. And then you're like, fuck.
Wait, so you can
like you land and you get killed.
You could jump to your body? Like, dead
like
friend's body?
You see that they're in the fray, you tap on them, and as you're flying to them, they get killed. And the dude just stands there and waits and knows that someone else is going to be coming any second. There's so many times where I landed, didn't see what happened, and I got killed. Like, that's happened a lot. So, there's times where I will just swim, and then just kind of like, paint areas that need to be patched in, you know, because like every little percent counts towards your win, you know.
Right.
Like, I get what you're saying, but I usually do that after I die once or twice, and then I'll start to like fill in where they're not really advancing and shit. But like right at the beginning, I want to get deep across the map and have as much domination over that, like any territory that I can.
So like the
put them on their heels.
The,
you know?
the ones where I've had the most success is like. Where, for, like, the first 90 seconds, I don't even see anybody else. Like, I'm just painting. And then that last 90 seconds, like, we're kind of... It's about halfway split, and we're doing, like, a fight back and forth over that middle area. And if you're killing them off, then you're pushing forward. And if you're not, then you're getting pushed back. But, like, I mean, the last match we just played, Jeff, like, your team, like, blew us out, like, 70% to 30%.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, like, my team was retarded. Like, they were not anywhere near... They weren't doing anything at all. Like,
and some of the people, like, don't really seem to know how to fight or anything yet, or... I don't know. I guess, you know, you're gonna play with different skilled people. Go play on ranked, though. You'll see. You get your ass destroyed, man. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That seems, like, almost too competitive for...
Ranked is just a little square that you control on the map. So it's just, like, King of the Hill or whatever.
Okay.
Everyone's vying for covering paint in this one space, and it's like, you'll have motherfucking snipers and shit watching, like, it's a lot more, like, I think I've won, like, two matches in ranked.
Is it, and it's still team-based, right? Like.
Yeah, it's the same thing, kind of, except they'll just take a little, you'll see on your map a little square of the map that you guys have to dominate, like, that's it, like, it's not about who has more of the map, it's just who has more of that little square on the map.
Huh. So that's really weird.
That is a whole different game, because then that is about killing other people, essentially, because you're just trying to guard one little area, you know.
But it's funny, like, too, because, like, I heard so many people are like, oh, well, you know, killing people doesn't really matter, and it doesn't. Like, I mean, it's because at the end of the day, it's just covering the ground in turf war. But you go 0-5 in a match that you lose, and you see your team like has like 2 kills overall. It doesn't matter. Like, it still sucks. Like,
yeah.
Like that did not alleviate. Like, oh, kill death doesn't matter. No, but like if you're still kills getting destroyed.
Matter. They matter. I mean, if you're doing well, you're going to be killing people. You know what I mean?
There were so many reviews that were like, oh, it's finally a game. It, like, doesn't matter about your kill death. Like, all right, yeah, there's no, like,
it doesn't emphasize it.
Right.
It doesn't, but, it doesn't, like, point it out to you, like, you suck. Like,
right.
Although, they,
no,
they
it
do
does. Like, at the end of the match, like, you're all like, oh, God, we lost. And, oh, we had 2 total kills. And the other team had a guy that went 12-0.
Well, and then when they show your team at the end of the match, too, like, the people who are good on your team will be, like, standing up, looking down at you motherfuckers, and, like,
right.
You
so it's
like, sitting on the ground, like, I suck.
It totally shames you for sucking.
But your points are not based just on kills. Your points are also based, like, you watch, there's a meter, that like, a number meter that fills up as you're spraying paint, so it's, like, a combination of spraying paint and killing.
Combination of spray paint and killing.
Or spraying
paint. Seems like a box quote.
Yeah, I mean, you want to cover as much area as possible.
You're getting
so
points
more,
for both.
More valuable. And I think the paint roller is way overpowered.
I think at first, I remember I was texting you, I'm like, you need paint roller. You need at least 2 paint rollers on your team. And, like, for a while I was using that, but it is. But the problem is, when you get into a combat situation, it's not great. Like, yeah, if you slap someone with it, you get lucky and like, you kill them, but, like, I could fucking stand 10 feet away from you and kill you, no problem.
Yeah, but you're now at level 12 and your gun reaches farther, where I'm at level 6 and I'm using, like, the second splatter shot or whatever you get, and I can't hit anybody from, like, 3 feet away. Like, it's ridiculous how much they reward you for continued play, which is great. Like, I mean, you should get rewarded, but those players that are higher level are now, they
you
have
think
way
the guns
better
are
gear.
Better?
Oh yeah, really? like as you go on, like you get better weapons, and like that first gun is like you'll shoot it and it like shoots out right in front of you. It's like,
well, that's like the little squirt gun, yeah. But you quickly after that, you can buy a splatter shot, which is on level with most other guns, I think.
I don't know, like it still doesn't seem to go very far, like. You're not
well, it doesn't look like it's just
combat.
Like squirt, squirt, squirt. It doesn't look like it's like, I don't know. It's not like you're shooting bullets or whatever. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. There's a lot of things to get used to in it, but I don't know.
Do you think there might be the problem where later on in the game's life, like everyone who's played it is just so high level that there's no like bottom ground for new players to come in?
Well,
like for kids who buy it through Christmas or something?
They're definitely, because I ran into that issue with Jeff just right now, like. We play, it's what, 4-on-4, and out of the 8 people, like, most of them were over level 10, and I got 0 kills out of 5, and, like, I was the worst on my team, and it was like, this sucks. Like, this
well,
is not
fun.
We won.
Like, how much have you played? You played
probably like 6 hours.
Yeah, alright.
Like, and I'm not a fan. I think the controls are really janky. Like,
I see, I don't get that.
It's like the right stick, like where the one you would actually aim with, just I cannot get it like I would in like a Halo or Call of Duty. It feels way too loose, and I probably have to play with the like the sensitivity on it, but like I shouldn't have to. It should just play like every other fucking game.
I turned my sensitivity slightly up, but not for any reason. Because as I was switching to regular controls, I just tapped the sensitivity because I could tell that motion control sensitivity would be better. So I just tapped mine a little bit up just so it feels fast. I don't know.
Well, evidently there's people that really like playing with the motion controls. Like,
no,
I
yeah,
was like, this sucks. This
it's
is
weird,
terrible.
Dude.
It is so like, dumb.
The weird thing is, I was starting to get used to it. Like, I'm starting to really like it. And then I was like, no, I'm not playing a fucking shooter like this. This is not happening. So I switched to the just regular controls, and now that's all I use.
So to explain it to Pete, so you have the gamepad, which is, you know, the tablet thing.
Yeah.
And on it, it has a crosshair. And so you're like looking on your screen, and you will tilt it to kind of center the crosshair. Like, you'll still turn right and left with your right stick, and your movement is still...
But aiming is
but
just...
But all your aiming is with, like...
Tilting.
Yeah. Like, that access is done with the tilt.
You get used to it kind of fast, but then I was like, I don't want to get used to this. I do not want to play a shooter like this.
No,
it's
crazy.
Sticks. Yeah. I can see people that play that way, though. I totally respect anyone who, like, decides to play that way.
It's definitely more accurate. Like, it's...
Yeah, like, it's probably more like a mouse.
It, but... I'm like, no. Like, this is just frustrating. But it is fun, especially just like any shooter. Like, when you win, it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
When you lose, it still kind of sucks, though. It's
yeah.
So, it's a shooter. I do like that the matches are only 3 minutes long.
That's a great touch, I think.
That sounds pretty awesome.
So it's not like, oh, God, like, we got 10 minutes of Call of Duty... And this one dude, dude is going 32-0 over there. Like,
it's like, even if you get destroyed in a match, you're like, all right, well, I'll
it's
do
over.
One more. It's you know, 3 more minutes. Maybe the next one will be better, and it usually is. Like, you know, a lot of people will leave, and you'll get new people in there, and
right, or you can like hold on for a second before hitting yes again.
Yeah,
and it'll kind of clear out your lobby because they've already jumped into another match.
Yeah.
And there's tons of stuff to unlock, tons of weapons, tons of equipment. Like, there's clothes that you can buy that have bonuses on top of them, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got, like, the whole kind of, like, perk system you kind of expect out of game, and, like, the progression where you're, like, you're constantly unlocking. You get a new level, okay, well, you can get these guns now.
Yeah.
I found a couple, like, a gun I kind of stick to now because I really like its sub-weapon, and I really like its special. But clothing I kind of dick around with. But, like, the clothes, like, you know, you could. I'm wearing goggles that give me extra damage. I'm wearing clothes that lets you swim through ink without anyone seeing you. Like, and those things, like, they affect the gameplay enough where you feel like, you know, customizing your layout is important, but... I don't think anyone has one huge advantage at it, like, over another, you know.
No, cause, like, you could have that, but then somebody else could have, like, a higher defense, or or they get their special attack quicker, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So. You know, all sorts of ways to, like, pick how you want to play it.
Right. It's fun. I don't know what the staying power of it'll be. Evidently, they're going to continue releasing new content for it. But...
Well, that's the thing for me. Is like, I think it's really, like, I have very nothing but positive things to say about it, but I've played so much of it already, and I'm kind of like, I do play every, like, probably 3 matches after work every day, but then I'm like, all right, now I want something else to play. And I have nothing else to play right now, so I just play more Splatoon. So, you know, if them supporting it helps keep it, like, you know, fresh, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I can already, I feel like, dude, it's such a breath of fresh air, and it's so, such a burst of fun right off the bat, but then, like, you know, I've played it a bunch now, so it's not surprising me that I can swim through and I can do this and that.
Right, that's like the initial, like, hey, this is cool.
Yeah,
but
like,
now,
oh,
it's like,
God.
All right. Like, is this going to be your competitive shooter that you're going to play? Like,
I mean, I don't really get into shooters, so that alone is a feat, like, in and of itself, that I'm really enjoying it. But I'm just kind of going, all right, well, that's great, it's fun to play like that for like 10 minutes after work, but, you know, I need something meatier. And I don't know if, like, them continuing to support it keeps me playing, if it keeps community alive. You know, that's all to be seen.
And then there's the whole amiibo thing with it, but that's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get into any of that.
Yeah.
They're so dumb.
Well, evidently, this is the first time where the amiibos actually do something, really. Like, where content's actually unlocked in the game from having them.
Is it, like, clothing or something?
No, there's, there's 3 Splatoon amiibo.
Challenge maps.
Yeah, there's different challenge maps for each. I think there's, like, 20 for each Splatoon character, each of the amiibos. But those amiibos are so hard to find that, like, who the hell's ever going to play them? I went looking to try and get one of them just to, like, try that stuff out, and there is none in the Philadelphia area at all.
You're not.
They tried to sell me them when I bought the game, and I was like, nah, fuck that. I should have bought it and sold it to you, man.
Right.
I will sell it to you for $40.
eBay for $60, and it would sell instantly.
I also heard they let you play through the single player with different weapons. So like you play through the whole single player with the regular gun, like the splatter shot.
Yeah.
Like where I don't know what else they give you. Like maybe you get to play through with the fucking paint roller or whatever.
Well, evidently that's a. So I guess with the boy amiibo, that is his challenge, is to like play through the game with the paint roller.
Yeah, and it just feels like kind of like something that I shouldn't have to pay extra money for. Sorry, I don't know.
It's just cool. Thankful you don't have to pay extra money for the clothing that changes stuff gameplay wise.
Yeah.
So these amiibos should be like generally they're like $12 or $13 a piece. Amazon has the Squid Amiibo with Prime shipping for $35.
Oh my god, dude.
I
should have bought one.
the Amiibo Girl, there's only 6 left in stock, $24 a piece, and the Boy Amiibo for $22 a piece. And if you want the 3-pack, it's $62.
I basically should have bought all 3 and then fucking sold them, and I got Splatoon for free. That's what I should have done.
I did get the Pac-Man amiibo.
Ooh, nice.
It's a piece of garbage. It's the worst one I bought.
Really?
It's like it looks really cool when you look at it, and then you get it, and there's this giant seam across the middle of them. That's just not there on any of the other ones. All the other ones kind of like have a nice build quality. I got like a bad knockoff amiibo.
It's like the last one in the line.
Chinese counterfeit amiibo.
But I could only order one. Like, no, it's there on this too. I mean, mine might not have been buffed down as much, but I'm looking at the one on Amazon right now, and the line is there. It's just
I heard that the Splatoon ones were really sweet looking though. Like. Just taking them out of package and stuff, like they feel like they're made out of better material or whatever. I have no idea, dude. I don't own a single amiibo, so I don't really care.
The girl amiibo is pretty cool looking. Actually, I think the girl character in Splatoon is better looking than the boy character, but
yeah and cool that's who they've been marketing like primarily with the game too, right?
Yeah, she's pretty badass. She has her hair is also kind of like the arms of a squid.
Yeah, it looks like a little tentacles.
And they're orange, and they go down low. Where like, the boy is, he has, like, a... He's, like, this punkish look with a ponytail. It's kind of dumb. Like, yeah, the girl in Evo...
It's pretty fresh, Chris.
Yeah, very, very fresh.
Stay so fresh.
Anyway, that's Amiibo. Not Amiibo, that's Splatoon. Their Amiibo with it. Pete, you've been playing The Witcher.
I have.
Jeff wants to hear more about The Witcher.
Of course.
He loves The Witcher. We've only been talking about it for the last month.
Month and a half, if you count.
Oh, really?
Fucking
okay.
Google
Sometimes
Hangouts
with Aaron. Like, how, like, sarcasm works when it comes from Jeff. Like, I sometimes imagine that most of the time, like, he really wants to hear more about The Witcher. They're like, actually fucking hates it, but I want you to annoy him.
I don't think he hates it either.
Nah. We've been talking about it forever, it feels like.
And he hasn't played it yet, so.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I wouldn't say that, like, I see these places giving it, like, 10s and high 9s, and I'm like, it's like a high 8, low 9 at the moment. Like,
that's my boy.
It's not perfect by any standards. Like, I don't know how anybody could have given it a 10 with...
There's too many technical issues.
God, like, it crashed only once, but, like, the load times are ridiculous. People were freaking the fuck out about Bloodborne.
Oh, yeah,
these are twice as long as the load times.
Well, to be fair, the world is, like, way bigger, too. Though.
Yes, but I've also had these load times when I'm, like, loading to talk to a merchant.
That's crazy.
Like...
I haven't had that. That's nuts.
Like, the fact that, like, the game even has to load... Like, go to a loading screen in between shops and stuff is super...
Loading your inventory.
Well, no, that stuff's pretty... Thank you.
That's pretty quick. That's just a button press and, like, you bring it up. Which is nuts, because there's so much crap in your inventory, too. It's possibly the worst inventory management recently.
I manage my inventory based on what I can and cannot craft. I don't actually, like, sort it. In any way, shape, or form anymore.
No, it's just shitty. Like, I just have flowers and seeds everywhere.
Yeah, thankfully, that stuff doesn't weigh a whole lot, so I'm not too worried about, like, keeping track of that stuff too much, but... I'm not super far in the game. I'm level 10. I think I just became level 10 today.
Right about where I'm at.
In the main quest, I just completed the Kirin. Like, I'm on the Kirin side quest now. Kira, or whatever, the mage.
Oh, okay, I'm doing a... Like, did you finish the Bloody Baron stuff?
I finished as far as you can go. The path forks where you can either do the mage or the Bloody Baron, but in order to finish the Bloody Baron, you have to finish the mage quest. So, it kind of loops back in itself.
Okay, so you're now back with Kira, and she, you're doing the mage stuff?
Yeah, how far in this main story are you?
I'm done that stuff. There's something after that where you can go and, evidently there's like a whole quest line where for Kira just by herself.
Yeah,
after
and
that,
I'm on the side one on that already because the leveling is weird in the game because, like, you'll see a monster that's level, like, 5 levels higher than you, and if you're really good at the combat, you can just kill it.
Yeah.
Like, I killed something that was level 18. That was like some little shitty like gremlin thing, but then at the same time I'll fight monsters that are like the same level as me and I will get thrashed. And it has nothing to do with like learning like what signs work and what their weaknesses are. It has just a lot more to do with like just sometimes shitty camera and other things like that. Like the, in my opinion, the combat is not fun.
I'm not disliking the combat. I think it's just there.
Yeah, it's really just there. Yeah, the horse controls are abysmal, and I think they knew that, and that's why you're able to hold it down.
I love that though, like where you can just like kind of hold it down and he'll hold to the path. And
but he goes so fucking slow.
Yeah,
like I started just traveling on foot now everywhere.
Well, it's like, and when you get off your horse and you call him, Roach gets stuck on everything.
Oh my god, he's the worst. Like, he's the dumbest fucking horse on the planet. So yeah, it's just, like, getting on and off, it's a lot more fun to just, go on foot, because then you could immediately just, like, find everything and stuff. I'm trying to figure out what else I've been doing in it. Gwent is super fun. I'm super bad at it, but it's fun. That's like the card game and stuff.
Yeah.
I like that there's a fun, like, quest line with that. The monster contracts are okay. They're not... I mean, so far.
I like how each of them kind of have some sort of story to them, like...
Yeah. There's a good amount of lore associated with them. And the world is definitely... The world is amazing. Like, it's fun. Like, I haven't gone anywhere other than the first section you're in when the game starts.
So Velen.
Yes, Velen. Yeah, I haven't been to the other, like, Skellige or the other 4 open worlds, I guess, that exist in the game.
Yeah, well, you start out in, like, White Orchard or something like that, and then it's Velen, Novigrad, which is evidently a really big city, and then Skellige, which is kind of like the northern territory.
Yeah, like the island, like the Viking stuff is from what they were referring by. So yeah, I think but what's more fun to me is like paths to quests that are your level could be littered with things that will destroy you.
Oh yeah, I was doing this one quest where this lady asked me to go and repair some shrines.
Yes, that's
so
exactly.
I'm just like,
I just finished that,
like,
one today.
La la la, like riding my horse, going from the second repair shrine to the third one. And I come across a griffin with a giant red death skull.
Yes, so I'm like, I found that griffin too, and
what the hell was this?
Avoided him like the fucking plague.
I was like, whatever. I'll just run by him. I'm not gonna attack him. And he comes down and scares the hell out of Roach, who throws me to the ground. And then in one hit, the thing killed me. It's like, oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, that's like, but. So, I when I go to, like, the notice boards, you might have grabbed this one already, there's a contract for a missing brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that quest is for, like, a level 36 character. And I'm dicking around in the world, and I go into a cave, and I vault over this wall and land in a pool. And Geralt goes, and the whole thing shakes, and he goes, somebody, something just woke up. And then all of a sudden I see the contract update, missing brother. And I go, oh, fuck. And I immediately turn around and, like, haul ass out of there because I don't know what's down there, but I know I'm not supposed to be there yet.
Yeah, I somehow ended up down, like, that quest lines up with some other quests, too. And so, like, I was doing the other thing, and I end up talking to the brother, and there's, like, two guys that were there. I guess the brother may not live or whatever. But there's supposed to be three people there, and I'm, like, talking to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's this, like, giant monster up there. And I, like, creep up, and I'm like, oh, no. No, I'll come back here. I'm gonna leave you guys here in this cave.
Jesus. Like, I found the cave by accident. It was just like, hey, here I am. I'm gonna go exploring. And
yeah, there's just stuff that can happen everywhere in the game.
Terrifying. Yeah, it's good. I wish that, and maybe this would be cool, is if this unlocked at the end. Like, if they did kind of like a Red Dead thing where you could play as Ciri, like in the open world, after you beat the main story or something. I don't think that's the case, but like,
no, I heard how the end game works. Evidently, like, you go and do your, there's like a point of no return.
Okay, so the usual RPG thing. Okay.
Yeah, and then, like, when the game's over, it brings you back to that point, but it closes off all the quest lines, like, they're done, so you just kind of get tossed back into the world open. It would be awesome if they could be like, and now you can play as Ciri in the open world.
Yeah, I would really, I enjoy that. I like her character a lot. Even, yeah. But her sections feel really weird because they're linear.
Yes.
And so they feel really antithetical to the game's, like, purpose, I guess, to get really philosophical about game design. Like, they just feel like they're going against the grain of everything else that game is about.
Right, except the whole game is about you being a witcher, and, like, there's this story of you trying to find your daughter, but it's really this, it's really about giving you the experience of witchering, being a monster hunter in this world, and there's these story pieces that are just like, alright, you're gonna go from point A to point B, and that's all it is.
Exactly, yeah. Like, and that, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it's still good. It's not perfect. I wouldn't say that it's my game of the year yet, but, you know, I'm probably through 15% of the game at this point.
Right, there's so much to it.
You know? Everyone was like, the Bloody Baron quest is the best and stuff. Like, and it's good.
You haven't finished, like, that part of it is only like a third.
Okay, because, yeah, okay, so
so what you're doing now matches up with that, and then there's another piece after that.
Yeah, so I found the daughter, and now I have to go find the wife.
Right.
And for the longest time, and this is what's really weird about that, is that the game doesn't, like, when you cap off the daughter's side of things, the quest still continues, and it just says, investigate any remaining leads about the wife. And there's no quest marker. I'm like, well, what the fuck do I do?
Right, it's like, oh, exactly. I was in that same position, and so then I just had to go do this other thing. Like, the other, I picked one of the other main quests, which is part of that Kira
Yeah, that was, line. Like, the where you go find the elf mage, and I was like, well, I guess I'll do this. And then I happened to be reading, like, the guide on IGN, just because I was lost in that quest as well. I didn't realize you had to jump into the well, because I thought it would kill me. And it was like, oh, hey, by the way, to finish the Bloody Baron quest, you have to complete two quests. I'm like, how in the game would I have known that until I finally got, like, fed up with not being able to do this and just decided to do something else.
Like, I happened to actually get lucky where it was, like, although it was kind of the same for me, but the reverse. I did it in the reverse order where I did the Cure stuff first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and did the Bloody Baron stuff. But it was, like, that same situation where it was, like, you're kind of left with this, go do this piece. And you're like, all right, but there's nothing on here for me to do.
Exactly, like, there's no nothing. I was very confused, so that was a little odd.
But when they tie together, it's a really, like, when all that main story stuff, the Kira, the Dark Mage, the piece after that, and the Bloody Baron family stuff, it all links together somehow. And
sure, yeah, there, I mean,
a,
I, I have a vague idea of how that works. So.
There's a very satisfying like ending to it that does tie into how you dealt with things with the Baron, with you know, other choices that you make throughout that whole storyline, that whole quest line, and it has a very nice payoff, which can change like depending upon how you do things. So
yeah, I haven't seen anything like that yet. I keep meaning to go back to White Orchard because I gave that girl the swallow potion.
And you want to see if she's like
see if she lived or not?
Yeah,
I'm not sure if like that's something that they ever do with, but that's like the only thing I've seen that might be a thing at the moment. I've just been completing a lot of other random.
Yeah, no, there's. I mean, I guess mileage will vary, but like I was taken aback by the outcome of my choices in the Baron quest. Like, it really kind of threw me. I was like, wow, like, okay. It goes dark, and then it goes even darker, and it all comes down, like, after you get that, like, it's like, alright, well, this quest is over, and then you finally get, like, it cuts out of the game, and Geralt kind of, like, goes over in his head the what happened.
And, oh, weird. Okay.
And like,
like
how...
Sixth Sense style, like, looks
no.
back, yeah. Oh, all these things were different than what we thought.
But it's more like he's kind of like, it's almost like he's writing in a journal type thing where he's like talking about the experience of
or
having
he's just
done
talking
this
to
quest
himself
line.
Because
yeah,
that's just a thing he does throughout the
right.
entire game. Like,
I mean, they're all. I mean, as a Witcher, you're probably a bit nuts.
I mean, I just think it's funny. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
like, where he's just, like, talking, like, you're investigating something.
Yeah. He's explaining the story to you.
He's just explaining the scene. Like, it wouldn't be something that you would talk out loud. Like,
I'm almost positive. I think, actually, like, I did the quest. Did you do the quest where you have to get the old lady's pan?
Yes.
In the house? And she calls him on it. She, like, he, like, starts talking, like, out loud. And she goes, who the fuck are you talking to?
Right. Yeah, she does.
He's like, I'm talking to that person playing the video game, trying to explain what's going on here.
Well, no, because he's not, yes, to a degree, but it's also kind of like...
He likes to think out loud.
Yeah, it's like if you played the last Batman game, Batman Arkham Origins, where you're doing the investigative stuff. Like, Batman's doing the same thing, where he's kind of like, all right, well... This obviously means this
yeah.
over here, and like, oh, here's a clue over here. Like, it's like, all right, so he's doing his, like, Sherlock Holmes thing just out loud for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
But the world kind of acknowledges that he's a nut. So it's pretty cool. I'm evidently a little bit further along than you, so.
Yeah, I took a break from the main quest just to, like, I have 1.5 million question marks. Let's see what,
yeah.
what's out there, you know? And I wanted to level up because I've been dying a shit ton. did you do the werewolf quest?
That was a bitch.
Yes, it was. I finally, like, I had to just do... I broke the game because I would just, like, I would hit him, and then I would run away to meditate and heal and fill potions, and I had to do that, like, 6 times.
And he can regenerate health, too, so...
Yeah, and then I did the cockatrice as well. That thing was a royal bitch because it would bleed, and bleeding, you can't, like, heal... It doesn't... It still drains your health when you're healing, which was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what you think when you kind of get through that first. Because I'm actually through the first... I'm through Velen. I'm just wrapping up quest lines there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interested, because that was where it was like, alright, yeah, this main story is impactful in a way. So.
That's good. Yeah, I'm curious to see how it... Because, like, the Bloody Baron stuff is where everyone... was talking about, and I like it, it's fun, but my hope is that the story doesn't, like, just fall off the edge of the earth after that, like, that it, quality-wise, it still continues to be fun and interesting.
Right. You play anything else recently?
Darkest Dungeon came out with an update. I played a little bit of that. They made it a lot harder. Crypt of the Necrodancer hit like 1.0 at some point, like a month ago, so I went back to that. But otherwise, Witcher's really been it. I haven't had the time or the money for much else.
I know The Witcher will take you forever, so.
That's my hope.
I played some more Destiny with Don.
Oh boy.
But
you guys are still into that?
Right.
Not just into it, like, I'm like fully addicted to it now.
Oh motherfucker.
Like it finally got me. It took 9 months, but it finally got me to the point where I'm like, alright, I get why people were addicted to it.
Can you explain for
no, there's zero explaining. It's just
happens.
It just snapped and I'm like, alright. And now I want to go get all these weapons, and I need to get this armor, and I want to do these quest lines so that I can get this item to get this armor, and I fully understand how people lose all their time to playing, like, WoW. Like, because for the last 2 weeks, like, when I'm not playing The Witcher, I've been playing Destiny.
Is there, like, more loot than before, or what?
There is, but it's not, like... It's not in the way that we experience loot as, like, in Diablo or Borderlands.
Yeah.
No, it's much more bullshitty.
Yeah.
Well, I remember getting loot in Destiny, but it was so rare. I was like, I get there's a guy...
You know, there's way more now. Like, okay. I'm going to, like, the Cryptarch, which is where you kind of, like, bring your unknown items to, and he'll tell you what they are. I go in, like, I'll go out on a patrol and do some quest lines there, like, to wrap up a bounty, and I'll come back with, like, 10 or 12 things to bring him and dump off. So they definitely up the item drop rate for that stuff.
Yeah.
And now legendaries drop on a more frequent basis, and the new expansion actually has... the Prison of the Elders, which is kind of like the wave-based thing, which I'm having a ton of fun with, going through and doing like the 5 rounds, doing the kind of like a firefight type thing almost.
Yeah.
And it's a ton of fun, and at the end of each successful run, you go down and there's a pair of chests that you can open up, and they have a chance to grant you a treasure key, and if you get the treasure key, and you can open the big chest, which will just drop like all sorts of cool goodies on you.
I want goodies.
Yeah. So now I'm like, I want to like play, get my hunter up, and my hunter's now at 33, so I'm one level away from max level, and I want to get a titan up, and I want to do a warlock, and like, alright, like, I could probably hold off on this for another 3 months and see what Bungie releases this fall, because there's supposed to be some sort of big expansion coming, bigger than what they've been releasing. But they've also improved the game immensely. Like,
so
they're listening to what the fans have been asking
for. I shouldn't have sold it.
I don't know if that, like...
I found it fun, but it was like, I got to a point, I didn't, you know, I think I
have
like,
no regrets.
Like, I was like, fuck it.
Right. Yeah, well,
it's not enough to this game, there's not enough personality.
Yes.
Like, the play is good, but fuck it.
I'm still 100% in agreement that there is not enough to it. They've added a lot of stuff that is infinitely replayable. Like, the Prison of Elders thing is just like Firefight, where you could play that forever.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, I'm having a ton of fun with that. But, yeah, like, as far as overall story, there's not a whole lot there. There's, like, 6 strikes. There's the 2 raids. And then there's the story missions. Playing on the higher difficulty, which is something that they were saying early on, which I still want to smack them for saying it this way, but they were like, oh, well, the game doesn't really start until you hit level 20. Well, then you should have started all that stuff at level 1, because you're asking people to play 11 you know, 15 hours or whatever to get to what you're saying is the good stuff.
Yeah, that's the Final Fantasy 13 argument all over again. Like, right. it's no, good it's, 50 it's hours shitty. In.
But this is well, like them saying it from right off the bat, kind of.
Right, right. They were like, oh, well, all that stuff that you play in the beginning, all the main game is just...
That's your tutorial.
Yeah, that's your tutorial. Like, the real stuff is playing that stuff on the higher difficulty, which you can't do until you get better armor. And they're right. Playing that stuff on higher difficulties is way more satisfying, way more fun. But it shouldn't... There should be... You shouldn't be penalizing players for not wanting to play through your game and then replay that stuff at a higher difficulty. Like, you know, make your game fun from the get-go. Don't make it, like, a shitty slog that I had to put, like, 100 hours into before I'm like, oh, I get it now. I finally got it. I finally sunk just enough time. I've wasted enough of my life that I now understand what makes this game good and why people that really like it really like it. Because, like, I can't sell that to anybody else. Like,
just play for 30 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like a crazy person.
No, I totally get that.
30 hours, then tell me
totally
I'm wrong.
Get that.
God damn it.
Like, I joined a matchmaking site to find other people to play with because the game still does not have fundamental matchmaking for this high-level stuff. And their community manager, his whole thing is, well, make some friends. No, go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah, really.
I shouldn't have to be your PR team telling my friends to buy your game. and then try and convince them, no, play for another 70 hours. It's all good. Do that. It's fine.
Gets fun eventually.
Yeah, but no, please suck up like 3 full days of your life just playing this game, and then it'll be fun, and we can play together. Like, no, that I shouldn't have to do that. But there are luckily third-party websites out there that will match you up with people, and it's been very successful. Like Don and I were able to get people for a raid, which I had never played one of them. And that content is really cool. It's different than anything else in the game. But if you don't have 5 other people to play with, you're never going to see it. And that's a fundamental failure of that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's kind of shit. There's so much cool stuff in Destiny, and there's so many great ideas. But the execution of it and sort of some of their arrogance, especially initially, is really off-putting. They're fixing some of that. They're acknowledging that they've upped the drop rates. They very quickly found out, like, people were complaining that treasure keys weren't dropping on a regular enough basis. They adjusted that, so you're assured one each week. They added in new story content per week now with in association with those treasure keys. So it's kind of cool that they're listening and they're making adjustments on the fly, but it's a hard sell for people to be like, yeah. It's funny, I was listening to the Giant Bombcast, and, like, Jeff Gerstmann was saying, like, he's like, yo, year 3 is the year that I think that Destiny is finally gonna be good.
Did you listen to this week's?
Yeah, where Brad was like, like, he went down a dark hole, and he deleted it from
his
PS4. He's
like, I don't do this anymore, and then Jeff is just like, yeah, hey, like, I haven't seen that second rated, you wanna play it?
Yeah, perfect.
Jeff.
Yeah, no, but, like, I totally get where people are like, I don't like it, but I finally hit this weird spot where I'm like, I'm enjoying it, I'm having fun with it, and with between that and The Witcher, like, I don't need a whole lot of other stuff right now, so. And Splatoon, occasionally.
Yeah.
That's a lot right there to deal
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to play, so I'm good with that.
See, I just got Splatoon, so I'm ready for, I guess I'm gonna get Batman next.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Batman real quick?
Sure.
Let's do it.
So the pre-order, I guess, is up on the Xbox store, and I've been buying most of my stuff digitally. And I guess you get the Harley Quinn story pack if you pre-order or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the fucking pre-order options for this shit are absurd. I'm sorry. Like, it actually turned me off.
There's a Polygon has a list of, like, It's you know, 25 different versions.
Yes.
Different retailers and shit?
Yeah. I mean, half of them are skins and challenge maps and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's one or two that do have, like, stories.
I would like my Harley Quinn, though, dude. Like, who is that exclusive to?
That's if you pre-order. If you pre-order, you get that. So.
All right, pre-ordered. Thank you.
It's like, I'm not going to get to play it right away, so it's like, I don't want to drop $60 on a game I'm not going to play right away. But now, like, I'm like, well, if I...
It's about a month away. Play that.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks away, and I go to Vegas that week.
Oh,
so it's like,
I gotcha.
It's like, I don't want to drop $60 on a game that I'm not going to be there for a week to play.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't know. I'm really, really torn on it. I'm thinking I might hold off on it. Like, unless everyone's like, this is game of the year material, I might hold off on it until there's, like, the inevitable collected edition.
I'm sure people will be raving about it. I mean, this is Rocksteady as their last one. Unless they really, really fuck it up, it's bound to be a...
I hope it's good.
Basic game.
I don't like the series, though, except for the first one, so I'm, like, real sketchy on it, but I'm like, it's June, and you're getting a AAA title. Like, doesn't
Jeff,
happen
Do you not like it, or do you, like, you just didn't find Arkham City to be as good as...
Dude, I played about an hour of Arkham City.
Oh, okay, so
I dropped off the radar. Like, the first one, I thought was one of the greatest games of that generation. Like, when I played it, my mind was blown. And then I started playing Arkham City, and I was like, I don't like this. Like, I don't know what it was. Maybe I didn't give it enough of a chance, but I did not like it.
Like, Asylum, I played on PS3 and 360 all the way through, and then I only played City on one. Like, it just did not grab me the same
way. Asylum is so much... In my opinion, like, Asylum is, like, the height of that series. Sorry.
Well, I think that it's the nature of how they did it, where it's more... It's not an open world. Like, you can travel between the locations, but it's more of a Metroid game.
It's more, yeah, it almost feels like you're, like, fucking John McClane inside a building crawling around through fucking fence and shit. Like, you get to feel like you're in this one space the whole game, you know what I mean?
Like, whereas in City, it's this open world, and it's...
It takes, like, away from it a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have that same feeling. Like, I think they're still both good games, but I prefer Asylum.
Yeah, no one brings up... There was a third one, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was Origins.
That wasn't by Rocksteady, though.
I know.
Black Sheep, for sure.
I actually think that, like, in terms of story-wise, I like Origins' story better.
Yeah, but Origins I feel like it was too short, though. Like, the ending of that game is really weird, and it just kind of ends.
Yeah, and it's also the third straight game where the Joker is the end dude. Like,
Yeah,
it was unnecessary. Especially, like, I felt like they were just making up for the fact that, you know, for what happened at the end of the second game, like...
Right. Well, and if the Joker is the end guy for this, I think people will lose their shit.
Yeah, but then again, like, they got, like, Scarecrow being the main guy, and everyone's sort of like...
That'd be great.
Really?
Oh, and that's another, like, what is there? There's a... If you get it on the PS4, or if you pre-order on the PS4, there's, like, exclusive... Nightmare maps or something there's so much shit going on with that game.
I might have to get on PS4 though. Thank you.
I believe that was what I'd heard, that there's like exclusive crap over there if you
for sure.
That, anyway, let's do some news.
Much news.
Yes. We'll kick it off with Soma. I don't know if you guys played any of... I know Jeff hasn't, but Soma is from... drawing a blank here.
Frictional.
Yes, and they did... God damn it.
Amnesia.
Yes, Amnesia the...
All right, I'm with
Descent. They did the first one.
Not the second one, though. Yeah,
that was Chinese
room. Yeah. So it's like the survival... It's actually what kind of launched that whole, like...
The resurgence of the no-combat...
Yeah.
Horror game.
And Soma is their space game. Their space horror game.
It's like underwater space. It's
underwater, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Alright.
It comes out September 22nd.
I'm really excited for that.
Not for Jeff, because it's only on PC, but...
It's bullshit. I'd buy it.
I'm sure once it makes enough money, they'll port it. I'm pretty sure they did that with the other game as well.
Yeah. So that's coming. I'm quite excited for that, because I enjoyed Amnesia, so... And I enjoy that type of game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, it's been a long time since we've had, like, an original sci-fi horror game.
Yeah.
That was good.
Adrift, I think, looks interesting.
Yes, Adrift also very good looking.
Is that, like, a horror game, though? I don't know what that is.
I think so.
Or is it like...
You're alone in space, it's gotta be, like, not good.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, like, is it supposed to be, like, horror in, like, I'm gonna die out here, or is it horror in, like, there are aliens on this ship?
There's...
I don't know.
I don't think... They didn't go into that much detail with that. I know there's definitely the... I am on this space station, and it is fucked. Like, it has been ripped apart, and, like, I have to spacewalk, and I need to find oxygen because my oxygen is going low. But I don't know if it's, like, there's, like, monsters. There might be, but I don't think we've gotten enough information on that.
Oh, there will be monsters.
Jeff assures us there will be monsters.
Monsters confirmed.
If you bought Master Chief Collection... before December 19th.
I did.
ODST is now out.
I saw that. So, like, if I boot it up, it'll know that?
You should have a message in your, on Xbox Live that is telling you that, you have a code to,
Nice, dude. I kind of liked ODST.
You can just redeem it, and it will install it onto your... onto your game, and it's there.
ODST is the best one, I think.
I'd have to download the game again. I'm ready
for it. You probably would have to do that, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a bit much.
But yeah, it's there, and evidently it'll be $5 for anybody who didn't get it for free, so...
It's worth
fun. Yeah, I really like it.
The campaign itself was really good.
Yeah. And is it just the campaign or is it multiplayer as well?
I think it's just the campaign. Because the new part of ODST was Firefight, and I don't believe they're adding that to this. But all the maps that were included with ODST, because there was a new map pack that was released, but it was the Halo 3 multiplayer. So that's already in the game.
Is Firefight on Master Chief Collection?
Not that I know of.
Sucks.
I mean, there up until now there wouldn't have been any reason for it to be there though, because it was part of Reach,
ODST.
I heard everyone loved it. I'm surprised that it was something that they abandoned after.
But it wasn't part of those of this collection. That's the thing about the collection is Reach. In my opinion, is the best all around.
I like Reach's multiplayer definitely. It's definitely the one that
like
in Halo 3 I put the most into. So. Yeah, the campaign's fantastic as well. ODST has a great campaign, too, though, because...
It's different, though.
Yeah, it's different. It's like that open world you kind of explore and find. Like, you find the flashbacks, which then bring you into those missions. It's actually quite fun. But that's out there, so...
Well, it's good that they finally, like, made good on that, because I think people were getting antsy. They were like, didn't they say, like, spring and... stuff like everyone was afraid that it was going to be like an E3 thing and stuff, and like, hey, guess what, go download it now.
I still want my Reach. Give me a Reach.
Well, that's got to be next, right? Like, there's no reason not to do Reach at this point. It's the only Halo game.
I think you need to announce that Reach is coming in the Master Chief Collection, although maybe you don't do that this year. Maybe you say it'll be out next year because you have Halo 5 coming this fall.
Yeah.
So maybe you announce it at E3 and go, Reach is coming, we're going to add it into the Master Chief Collection, all the Halo games are going to be there. But I don't know.
Oh, man.
That'll probably break the Master Chief Collection for another, 4 months. So
buy Halo 5, get access to Reach.
Speaking of that type of stuff, though, what I think would be really smart of Microsoft would be to, at the E3 conference, be like, and Gears is available now. Like, just drop it out there. Have it as a downloadable game, not
as... That's what I'm talking about all along. It's out.
Yeah, I don't think that... If the rumor is true that this Gears remake is only the first game, you can't release that as a $60 product.
No, that's got to be like a $30 game.
I would buy it as a $30 game. Like, that was a fun campaign and everything.
Yes. But yeah, I don't think you can release... like. I am still totally... my mind is boggled by the fact that Sony is releasing God of War 3 for $50.
Like, what?
That seems nuts to me. Like,
well, and, you know, we're probably jumping a little bit ahead there, then at the same time they're doing Uncharted Collection, right?
So. Yes. Which hits October 9th.
I kind of see that, though. That'd be cool, like, to get all three of those for
Yeah. No multiplayer in that package at all.
I know.
That's weird. Yeah, no multi. Not that like I was a big Uncharted multiplayer fan.
I played 2 a lot just because with like friends and stuff, but it wasn't something
I like that it was different than Gears and that there was like objectives to the multiplayer, but I preferred the Gears multiplayer for that type of gameplay. But it is weird that it's not there. I said that I found it. So I was reading the Polygon comments on the news story, and somebody was like, "Well, like, it's probably because they want to have the Uncharted 4 beta attached to this." And I'm like, "If that's the excuse, that's really weak. Like, you're gonna say that the beta for Uncharted 4 is a legit substitute for Uncharted 2 and 3 multiplayer?"
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like that is why I know that is on there, like the beta.
Yeah.
I don't think that's why they did it. I think it's a network solution. Like, it's not built to run on PS4 networks. It's built to run on PS3 networks.
I'm sure. And then somebody was like, "Well, would you rather have them like launch it broken?" I'm like, "No, I'd rather they launch it and it works. Like, who the hell wants broken games?" Like, I just think it's a weak excuse to be like, you know, this beta is the reason that it's not there. But, yeah, that's coming, and I guess that's probably going to be, like, a $60 game. I don't know if they had a price attached to it, but...
I almost would be tempted.
I might. I really like Uncharted 1 and 2.
I really like 2. 2's really good.
2, I played through the campaign, like, I thought it was awesome. So I'd like to see the other ones, you know.
3 could go die in a fire as far
as... Even, like, the single player?
Yeah, I did not like
the single player. Like, there's a couple areas in the single player where I was ready to break my television in half.
Yes.
Mostly having to do with jumps and stuff like that because they were retarded in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and there's some poor level design, in terms of some combat in the middle of the game. Like all those games are like, you know, go to this area and get some cover, and now you're gonna fight waves of guys. Like,
yeah.
Tomb Raider did that. Gears does that. Like, it's just a trope of that type of game.
Yeah.
But Uncharted would throw like multiple like bullet sponges at you, and then armored dudes that were a bitch to kill.
Yeah, they were insane.
And multiple armored dudes at once. It was like, come on, really?
Yeah. I hate that shit.
And I never found the controls in Uncharted to be that precise. Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't, clearly was not, like, the best shooter on the market. Like,
no, I think they got better. I mean, you know, throughout their ones, but, you know, and then, like, things like Last of Us are really good. You know, they kind of learned, I think, their level design. And maybe that's why, you know, Uncharted 2 is probably the best one. Because that was Druckmann and what's his name there as well that I can't remember. The Last of Us guys, basically, you know.
See, like, I have problems with the Last of Us level design, but...
I think it's better than some Uncharted games, you know. And I think, you know, 2 did it.
Definitely better than 3.
Sure. But wow. Not so much, but I mean, like, you know, Last of Us at least wasn't, like, a bullet sponge for the most part as well. Like, it wasn't...
No, for the most part...
I always heard that the first Uncharted was more like a Tomb Raider game, like more puzzle solving.
There is a little bit more to it. It's all in one location, unlike Uncharted 2 and 3 where you're globetrotting. So you're it's not so much like you're exploring tombs or anything, but there are definitely moments where you now have to figure out this puzzle before you can advance. And
see, like, I'd be interested to play the first one. I always have been. But then again, I can buy it for, like, $7 now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I'll probably buy the collection. Some dumbass.
Well, yeah, then you can just play it on your PS4. You don't have to...
Yeah, I don't have to worry about it.
And I need stuff to play on my PS4.
I know, right? I pre-ordered Tony Hawk on my PS4 just because of that.
You want something to play on.
And also because sometimes I have to play Tony Hawk with the D-pad, and you know, Xbox still hasn't done the D-pad right.
I did the D-pad on the Xbox One controller's decent.
I know, but like...
It's an actual cross.
To play Tony Hawk, I'd rather use the 4-way on...
Sure.
The Switch, which is 4 separate buttons.
Although...
Clean, simple...
you're gonna buy it and it's all gonna be analog controls.
Well, and that's, I started thinking about it afterwards. I was like, the last couple of Tony Hawk games I played, it was on Xbox, and I had no problem with it, like, using the stick. So I was like, fuck. And I'm thinking now I might just get Tony Hawk on both systems.
All right, well, I will let you do that, and if they're good, I'll buy them on one.
Sure. I'm going to say they're good no matter what, though. You know that.
Okay, well, I will wait and see if other people think they're good, and then I will buy it to play with you if they say so. All right, let's see. Nintendo is looking to Android for their next system, but then they promptly denied it.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, I thought that was, yeah.
But it was, what was it, the Nikkei, which is the Japanese newspaper, which has a pretty strong track record of being right on these rumors.
If it's on Android, man, like, that seems like the most natural mistake for Nintendo to make next.
Right?
Like, that's why it's almost believable. Like, it sounds just dumb enough for Nintendo to make.
Right, like, we want to just embrace, like, we want to have the most open platform available so that everybody can develop on our system, but, like, is Android going to be powerful enough to, like, have real games on it? Like,
well, they denied it, but it could also be like their whole mobile business that they're trying to get into. You know what I mean?
Right, and if
like
the
maybe
NX...
they have a tablet or something like that coming out.
Well, if the NX is that kind of cross between mobile gaming and home gaming, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that might shut Apple out entirely, though. I wonder if that's a goal of theirs.
Maybe.
Good luck.
Although, I'm sure it'll be like a closed Android system, kind of like the Kindle Fire is. Like, the Kindle Fire is built on an Android base, but it's also, like, you can't just put any Android thing on your Kindle. Like, you really need to kind of...
You have to, like, root it and stuff.
Yeah, it's not easy to do, so I'm sure Nintendo will make it as hard as possible for it to do anything. And then release 72,000 different new Virtual Console editions.
Naturally.
Yeah. Windows 10 is coming July 29th.
Yeah, I got my update notice. I'm on Windows 8, so there was just a thing that popped up on my computer that was like, hey, listen here. It's,
hey.
You know, now, what I wonder is, will it, like, refresh my whole system, or is it almost going to be more like a Apple update where it, like, doesn't necessarily wipe my whole machine clean? Like, will everything still be preserved?
I don't know.
Because that terrifies me. Like, I just redid this damn thing. Like,
right? I mean, I want to try it out, but I also want to hear how the upgrade system works. Like, am I going to lose everything?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't want to lose everything. And if it's really just an upgrade over 8, like,
more power to them, then.
Yeah. I don't... When I started using 8, I thought it was garbage, but now it's kind of okay.
Yeah, 8.1's not the worst.
I can utilize it. I don't use that kind of Metro interface. I use the actual desktop.
Yes, because
so.
You're a human being.
Right. but yeah, if you have a Windows 7 or 8.1, I believe you get a free upgrade, so... Which and that will enable Xbox streaming from the Xbox One to your PC, because that's a useful feature, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if that's gonna help.
I have heard people say that, like, you know, if your Xbox is in another room or it's like hooked up to the main television, and your PC is in a different room, like, you want to play something there. I don't know, I would just go down and play on my TV, but I also have my Xbox hooked up through my TV, so, like, if my family's watching television, I'm pretty sure I can't stream a game from my Xbox to the PC at the same time. Like, I'm not sure who that works with.
Yeah.
XCOM 2 is coming this fall, but not for Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be so fucking lame.
I don't care. I liked it. I got to like the third level and I was like, oh wait, I don't know how to play this.
It's still stupidly hard. Like, yeah. I need to go back and like replay the first one because.
Do you guys really think it's going to be PC exclusive all the way through?
Thought is that somebody at E3 will come out and be like, and we have a timed exclusive for the console version of XCOM 2, but,
I don't know if that happens. I have heard that rumor, but...
I'm not sure if, it seems odd to just go back on that after
releasing on everything the last time, like...
Yeah. Like, that just seems... That's just really odd. So, I don't necessarily... Like, I know they want to do, like, mod support and stuff, but that, like, who says that you have to be PC exclusive to do any of that? Like, Skyrim does it just fine, Fallout did it just fine, you know, like... Deus Ex, etc. Like, the last XCOM did it just fine. Like, you didn't need to be PC exclusive in order to do that, you know?
Right, like, that... The PC version could get those mods, and the console versions, the mobile versions could, you know, just be the base game. I think it's coming. I think maybe this is, like, a financial decision where it's, we're going to release on PC first...
Then game of the year it.
Yeah, and then kind of do like a bundle type thing where it's already done, the content's done, we're going to dump it out on PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah.
And then maybe even a mobile version or whatever and go from there. It doesn't make any sense to me why you would eliminate portions of your audience. Like,
yeah, unless it just cost them too much to do, like the UI for the money they wound up getting.
Right.
For the console versions, but I remember it being a big hit on consoles.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they brought it to mobile, too, so... Like, I mean, obviously they were making money on it, because they kept releasing it for everything, so...
Yeah.
But
I'm still excited for it, like, I really like the first game, even though it's ridiculously hard. So I'm excited to see what this one is, because I guess, like, the aliens won in the end, right? So now it's, like, Resistance XCOM.
Yeah, it's 20 years in after the events of XCOM. The Earth is kind of taken over by aliens, and you're now this Resistance crew. The XCOM unit is, like, a Resistance fighting crew, so... Sounds like it could be really cool, and make it a little more grittier.
Yeah, that's...
Than the last one.
I'm down with that.
Dark Souls 3 is rumored to be getting an announcement at E3.
Yes.
I think I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
There's no such thing as being done, Jeff.
Bloodborne killed you?
It wasn't even, like, Bloodborne was great. It was just, like, I played through a couple of these games now. I think I'm done.
It is a lot of them back-to-back.
Yeah, they do. They almost have annualized Dark Souls.
I mean, this will be the fifth game in, what, like, 7 years or so?
Dude, like... I don't know.
Oh, but Pete, you're excited for it?
Yeah, I mean...
I'm sure everyone is.
I might not necessarily buy it immediately, but, like, I think that the design that goes into these games, especially, like, world-wise, like, lore... boss design and just like what the world looks like and stuff is fascinating. Like,
they have not faltered yet in terms of like the other games are good. Don't get me wrong, I'm just kind of over it.
No, I mean, I totally understand that. I just want to see what new stuff they come up with and see how it fits in. Because, like, you know, there are connections between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2, so it's like, alright, well, how does that world continue? And the lore of that, I think, is really fun to pay attention to.
Yep. I mean, they're not games that I am big fans of, but they do amazing stuff in them, so...
So here's a random thought. Like, is it a Sony exclusive, do you think?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Do you think it premieres at their conference, though?
No. if anything, I think it appears at the Xbox conference.
Really? as like their like show of like we're Japan friendly.
I don't even think it's a matter of we're Japan friendly. I think it's more of a hey, we have these games too. Like I don't think it appears solely at the PlayStation conference. Like they just had Bloodborne and Dark Souls was that break. That's a Namco joint. Like that's out. That's still from Software, but it's published by Namco.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And the reason that they published it was because Sony didn't want to do another Demon's Souls. So, like, it makes sense for Namco to not be like, all right, we're gonna tie this to PlayStation. Like, From just had a PlayStation game. If it appears anywhere, I think it appears at Xbox. Although it could just be like Namco just announces it.
Yeah.
On the E3 floor. Like, Dark Souls 3, it's coming.
I mean, when Dark Souls 2 was announced, what, Spike TV Awards, I want to say? Was that when the first trailer came out? Okay, I was trying to remember, like, what they've done for their announcements, so. Okay, yeah. That'll be cool.
Let's see. The World Video Game Hall of Fame announced the first 6 inductions. They are, I'll run them down here. Pac-Man, Pong, Doom, Tetris, Super Mario Brothers, and World of Warcraft. That seems like a decent
start. Anyone's going to complain about that list.
No, I mean there were what was it? Titles like The Legend of Zelda were passed over.
That's fine.
Pokemon.
It's not okay.
That's
The Sims. I think it's fine for this one though. I think like
nobody gives a shit.
Like in term, like not that The Legend of Zelda isn't like hugely influential, but I think that this is a great entry. Like, and I mean, is there anybody that really would be like The Legend of Zelda over Mario Brothers? Like in terms of like historical impact.
Of course. It's close. If there's a game, I go for Zelda.
Okay.
I will.
Alright. Even though there have been bad Zeldas.
There have been very bad Zeldas.
There have been bad Marios.
No, there hasn't.
There's like that Mario is reading game for the PC.
No, that's not a core Mario game.
Doesn't matter. No. What was a bad core Zelda game then?
Skyward Sword.
You said to yourself.
Yeah. Like, other than that, though, honestly, other than that, I don't think there's any bad ones.
I mean, it's a toss. And Twilight Sword can go.
Zelda 2, maybe, but a lot of people like Zelda 2. I don't like it, but shit, people like it.
So you just named two games.
I was gonna say you're just eating your own foot here at this point, Jeff.
No, I'm not.
We'll leave it alone. Alright. I think that World of Warcraft seemed to be the one that people were giving the most shit to, but
it's the most modern one and like wasn't made in 1980.
But in terms of like just impact, like it changed, like it basically revolutionized that genre and destroyed it at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can't put World of Warcraft in there.
Like it's the biggest. It still is one of the biggest games going.
Yeah, so. And I would totally say like something like Modern Warfare could be in there. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that definitely reshaped how modern shooters work. To the point where nobody has figured out how to do it better than them at this point. So.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
I don't even know about that, Jeff.
I'm just kidding.
I think you're giving them just too much credit.
Steam Machines launch October 16th. Anybody interested in one of them?
Nah. I have a PS4 and a PC. Like,
I clicked on that link today because like I remember hearing about it back in the day, and I didn't realize that was still happening. And it was like $500 for a console, and then like $50 for this, and $50 for that. I was like, dude, are you serious? Who the fuck is gonna buy this thing?
Somebody that needs a low rent Linux computer, I guess. I don't know.
It's basically like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd rather just buy like any console over that. That's fucking ridiculous.
Or like a real PC that's not tied to to Linux.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got 4 more pieces here. PlanetSide 2 hits PS4 June 23rd. It's finally coming. I have no interest.
Nope.
But yeah, I don't know. I, yeah.
I agree.
I tried PlanetSide 2 on the PC. I could not get into it. It's free to play, though, so maybe I will download it, but I'm not really, like, stoked for it or anything.
That's cool.
Let's see. Ultra Street Fighter 4.
It's totally on PS4.
Yeah, the PS4 version was ditched by Evo for the Xbox 360 version because it's basically fucked on PS4.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy, too, because that was... I mean, not only like is it a Capcom game, but evidently Sony did a lot of work on that themselves to get it on the PS4. And this is kind of like that first step towards Street Fighter V. Like, this was... We're gonna release Ultra Street Fighter 4 on the PS4, and then Street Fighter 5 is gonna come. It's a little scary.
Well, I think what they're doing is they're trying to patch this thing into oblivion because they're like, they really want to probably have it at Evo, and they just want they don't want everyone to like run screaming from the console. So, because yeah, I think they've put out a bunch of patches already. So,
yeah, and I heard it's getting a little bit better. Evo did say that there's no more. There won't be any more platform changes to this game, so it's out at Evo. Like, it will not be played on the PS4 there. So that's kind of bad news for them, but I don't know. Is that weird, though? Because, like, Jeff kind of brought this up with Tony Hawk. Like, the D-pad on the 360 was never great. Like, I guess people are using fight sticks, so...
Yeah, nobody's playing pad with that.
Yeah. Like, I just, like, that's how I would play it, because I'm not going to buy a fight stick, but, yeah, I guess at Evo, like, they all have custom fight sticks, and they're playing, like, a true arcade-type experience.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's that. All right, the big one here.
Let's get to it.
Bethesda revealed Fallout 4 is coming.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Word.
It looks like it's in Boston.
It's in Boston. I think they confirmed.
It is Boston, yeah.
Did they confirm
it? I don't know if they did, but all the landmarks in there are
Boston. It all looks Boston-ish, and I really like the steampunky tall ships they have going on.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
The whole aesthetic is much more colorful, so that's nice.
Yeah, there's way more color than like in Fallout 3 or even in New Vegas, which had some neon-ish going on, but it was really that dusty desert color for most of it. There's way more color.
More cities, it looks like, too. Not a whole, like... From what at least the trailer was showing, it's showing a lot more of the locations instead of just, like, here's the barren wasteland.
Yeah, like, there's more towns and stuff. And, I mean, that would make sense, though, because, like, Boston proper is there, but then, like, Cambridge is kind of Boston. That's across, like, across the way, and Salem isn't that far away, and...
Sure, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a bunch of, like, New England stuff in there, like...
Yeah.
And then, you know, with DLC and stuff like that as well.
I noticed a couple weird things, though, in that trailer, like, the animations are still janky as fuck.
Yeah, like, that kind of broke my heart a little bit when I saw it, because I was really hoping that, like, with the new generation, they had done... like a new engine or something
yeah.
that like wasn't going to be totally like not at all pleasing to look at.
Yeah, this kind of like makes it seem like it's just an updated version of whatever engine they were using, which they've been using forever. So
yeah,
the textures weren't great on it, but especially like the dog kind of looked painted, but that's also it's just a trailer, so. They could clean that shit up, and we don't know when it's coming either, so...
Don't be hating.
I'm not hating, I'm just saying that, like, there are definitely some signs that, like... It definitely looks better than anything they did before, but... It's
it
still...
looks like one of their games.
Exactly. Like, it still looks like... still looks a bit janky
yeah.
in spots. Which has me a little worried.
It'd be incredible. Don't worry.
All right.
I'm curious now what, like what they should. Do you think like there's a release date at their press conference then?
Yeah.
I think they have to, right? Like.
I think so.
I mean, the marketing material that people have pulled seem to indicate that it's later this year. So, I will be curious to see if that's
I think people will go be like totally nuts if it is this year. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2016, but
this year.
I hope that if it is 2016, it's like March or something. Like, I don't want to wait like 6 months to a year.
Right. Right.
If you announce it now, like, that's just BS. Yeah, I don't, there. So here was the weird part about the trailer, and I'm just curious to get your opinion on it, is the fact that the guy spoke at the end. Like, I don't know if that happened in the other Fallout trailers or not.
No, the guy never, like, you were always that silent protagonist.
Yeah, so do you think they're taking a BioWare approach to things where, like, your male, like, you can pick, like, your male, female protagonist will have, like, a voice, or...
I think you're the dog.
That would be the best.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that until now. That's a good point.
Some people were saying that, like, there were rumors that you can only be male, like, they were going for a more storied approach, but I think that goes against the very philosophy of the games that they make, so that
seems it goes against everything that they've ever done with their Bethesda games. Like, it's always been about character choice, like player choice and how they want their character to be, and it's their story. Like, I can't see them just being like, you have to be a dude. I mean, I hope not.
I wonder if the main story will have some focus on what happened before the bombs dropped, because the trailer
there was some like split back and forth, right? Like, the dog was kind of going in and out of a frame, like where it was like, oh, there's, I guess it was a robot in the
yeah, it was a Mr. something shit. I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, like the butler type thing.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool, and then, like, the dog was running through those houses, and...
Well, yeah, you can hear, like, the news reports being like, I think there are, like, bombs have been dropped.
Right.
And
then everybody's running, and... yeah, I would love to, like, maybe even just, like, as the tutorial section. Like, this is how you play, and, like, that first, like, hour or whatever is that. That would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Get down with that.
I'm not sure I want like a split time period thing though. Where,
well, it might be time travel. You know, like that's how
could
I
be that
imagine.
Too.
You know, they do funky shit in.
Yeah, Fallout's one of those games where they can pretty much do anything. Like, they've had aliens and all sorts.
I want a virtual reality mission that puts me in the Elder Scrolls with Fallout.
That'd be funny. Like, that's actually how you get Skyrim. That rumored Skyrim. Port that's coming to PS4 and Xbox One, that's actually how you get it. Like, you have to go into Fallout 4 and put on a virtual headset, and then you can play through Skyrim that way. So you guys are excited, though.
Yeah, I like Fallout much more than I do The Elder Scrolls. Like, I think I prefer the sci-fi aesthetic.
Vats.
I don't care. I mean, Vats is whatever, but I just like science fiction more than fantasy.
It's something over Skyrim, though, where you just walk around and swing your sword or whatever. Like, I don't know. I like it more.
You like shooting a gun more, is what you're saying.
Well, there's more to the combat system, I think.
Sure. I mean, I think Vats was actually included, though, for... I think if it had just been a PC game, we never would have seen Vats. It was put in because they couldn't really get the shooting controls down on consoles.
Maybe. But either way, it's like, that's like a
main
hook.
It was fun, yeah. It was pretty cool. And it was like kind of a throwback to the original two Fallout games where they were turn-based.
Yeah, it kind of felt turn-based, you know? Yeah.
I need a little more information on it. But I will play it regardless, so I think it'll be fun. I do worry, though, that, like, having played Skyrim and recently, like, you know what, I guess not even recently, Skyrim was, what, 3 years ago now?
At least.
2011.
Yeah, they need the mission structure needs to be updated. Like, after having played, like, The Witcher 3 and how those missions are way more detailed... I don't know if we can just go back to kind of like the talking head fetch quest type shit of how they did in Fallout and Skyrim. Like, I'd want a little more out of their
yeah,
how they handle their quests. I want an evolution of that gameplay is what I think I really want.
Yeah.
I don't just want, like, Fallout in Boston. Like, just like I wouldn't want, like, the Elder Scrolls 6, wherever that new location is. Like, I just don't want another one of those games.
Yeah,
the
gameplay needs to just change.
Yeah. I want another one of those games, but I want it to be, like, an evolution. Kind of like Fallout 3 was, and kind of like how, you know, Skyrim was over those other games. So they haven't let us down before, though, so let's hope. All right, and last piece of news here. It's a piece of movie news.
Movie news!
Big Trouble in Little China is getting a remake.
Oh, I heard about this yesterday, and I flipped out.
With The Rock.
Oh my god, like, if they were gonna do it, The Rock is the
best. he is the right guy to do it. Like,
he's supposed to be playing, like, Jack Burton, and I was like, yes.
Like, I mean, if you're gonna remake a movie that starred Kurt Russell, you need to get, like, the coolest dude going, so The Rock is it, right? Like,
oh, The Rock is definitely it.
Like, I saw San Andreas over the weekend. That is not a good movie, and if The Rock was in it, it would be terrible. But he makes it totally enjoyable. He's fun to watch. Fast and Furious 7 is so stupid, and the Rock stuff in it is even dumber. But it's like, alright, I totally get on board with him walking down a street in LA shooting a minigun.
Well, yeah, how could you not?
This is fantastic. This is the best. So, I'm excited for Big Trouble in Little China getting a remake with The Rock, but there are some people that are upset about it.
Well, they just...
I think they're stupid.
Yeah, really. But...
did you guys see the Point Break trailer?
No.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
You should probably not.
That's what I heard.
It's not offensive like the Gem and the Holograms trailer is.
That one
I didn't know anything about that. That seemed...
Oh, that's so bad. Because it's totally against what everything Gem and the Holograms was. Like,
yeah, it's just like a top
right. It's basically any other, like, rise to fame, like, story that's ever happened before. But the Point Break one, I don't know. I like Point Break.
I love that movie.
It's fun. This seems like a very generic action movie. Same type of premise, though. I don't think it looks terrible. Like, people are kind of like, it's the worst thing ever. Like, alright, I think you're, one, selling too much on Point Break. It's not that great of a movie.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. But it's not like... Would you, like, put it up there with Die Hard?
No.
No, exactly. Yeah,
not.
It's...
Would I put Fury Road up there? No. That's a whole other conversation. Anyways.
So,
I feel like Jeff just wants to fight somebody.
I don't get the whole Fury Road thing. I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it yet, so I won't judge you, but, like...
Everyone just, like... I think
Jeff doesn't hate it either.
No, I don't. I think it's a good movie. It's just like the way some of our friends and just people I've seen it have reacted to it. Where I don't see it.
I don't know. I think people like to latch on to things that are subversive in ways, and it does. It does things differently than other films do, so that they want to celebrate what it does differently without actually, like, looking at its flaws objectively, which is fine. Like, whatever. I hear the same things. Like, there were people that were saying the same things about The Raid and The Raid 2. Like, there's nothing wrong with those movies. Like, they're great action movies, but, like, I don't see the deeper cuts in them that some people are finding there, which is fine, I guess. Like, it's art. Like, you can get out of it what you get out of it. So, if people really are that into Fury Road, great for them.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. I will watch Fury Road again. Like, I will not go see it again in theaters, but I'll watch it when it comes out on Blu-ray or whatever.
I'll watch it on HBO.
Right. That's a movie that if I saw on TV, I would totally sit down and watch.
It's nothing wrong with it.
Probably not something I'm going to go out of my way to.
Hey, I'm not trying to hate on it. Like, you know, like it's just the way people like act about it. Like, I don't know. Like, it saved action movies and this and that. I'm like, I don't know.
It's okay. Better than the Avengers.
Well, I haven't seen that because I didn't like the first. That was another one where the first Avengers, everyone was like, that movie's amazing. And I was like, it was fun, but like it had big problems. Like it was really boring for like the first half of it. So I don't know. Whatever. What do I know?
Nothing.
Damn it. Fuck. Beat me to
Sorry.
It. Speaking of which, man. Have you guys gotten caught up?
We are caught up on Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff did not love that last episode. I think he's crazy.
He is
no,
crazy.
I thought about it more and more, and I was like, it's a good episode, but...
That's what I'm saying. Like, he just wants to fight somebody.
No, but here's, like... My first reaction to that is... Alright, last season, Jon Snow had a big battle episode, just like this one, and it was, like, not even close to the best episode of the season. And it was the same thing. It was like, where the last 15 minutes are just, like, awesome.
Oh, sure. But that, like, that episode, that battle sequence, though, wasn't as significant
as this.
Right. This is way more impactful on the overall story. And
I'm just saying, this is a good episode. I'm just saying, I think people were a little, like, thirsty to, like, be like, see, Game of Thrones isn't bad. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay.
Well, I can understand that because the season up until this episode has been extremely boring.
It's been awful.
It's been a lot of dominoes being set up.
And
they were finally starting to get knocked over. Like Tyrion, like I said, Jeff, like Tyrion's back to being Tyrion.
Yeah,
like,
that was great.
He's back to thinking, which is what you don't want Tyrion just drinking himself to death. Tyrion drunk is awesome. But Tyrion drunk and not being smart,
is not good.
Tyrion. Like, you hate that. And like even Sansa and Sansa started to get she's getting bolder, and she's starting to understand everything that's going on there, and she realizes that Theon's a complete fucktard, and and now she knows her brothers are alive. The only thing that this is where it lost me in the books too, though, is the Arya stuff, like.
I don't like it.
That's,
I don't like
that part, dude. That stuff is
I don't get
interesting.
It.
I'm all about the faces.
That storyline needs to get somewhere because I don't get who these people are really. So I'm like,
well, I think that's it. Like they haven't explained, and they don't explain it enough in the books either. It's just like, I get it. She's being trained to be basically an assassin.
Yeah.
For like this religious order, but it's like, what's the end game with it?
It
seems like she's in a holding pattern, like, off on the side, because we didn't know what to do with her.
It was way more fun when she was with, what's his name, the Hound, and they're just, like, mm-hmm. She wants to kill everybody. And now it's like, she wants to kill everybody, but you have to go through, like, 30 years of training. There you go.
Right.
It's kind of a little bit.
Yeah. Were you guys upset about the fact that, like, so they, Jon Snow gets up to that, Wildling settlement, right? And he meets with the Wildling leaders, and the one, she's like the badass, like chief.
The Mad Max motherfucker.
Well, she was like the
chief
the
girl
or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, she was fucking awesome. And then they kill her.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I knew she was gonna die as soon as she said goodbye to her kids.
Yeah, it was terrible though, because I was like, she's what, like, everybody's been asking for from this, right? Like, she...
I did like how she was like, our ancestors would spit on our graves, but fuck them, they're dead. I was like, that's great.
Right. Like, she had great lines. She was kind of what's been missing since they killed off Ygritte.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's not playing, like, the Wildlings don't play the game, so... Like, they're not afraid to say what's on their mind, whereas everybody else in the world is playing the game. And although it's a shame, because I thought she would have been fun, although she's not really... There was nothing there to base that on, but...
She's cute. We liked her.
She was cute, too.
Yeah.
And then Dany's kind of like, she's being smart again. And
all thanks to Tyrion.
I think it's gonna go out on a good note. I don't know.
I'm waiting.
It's pretty weak.
There's still another. Well, there should be another battle to come within the next two episodes.
Yeah.
I'm just curious how all this like White Walker stuff ties into the overall. Like, it seems so far away from.
But now it's not. That's the thing. That's like.
No, but I mean, like the other, like the overall point. Like the political like meanderings and stuff like that, like is been most of the show is what it is, and it's like okay,
right? It's all there's nothing compared to these guys that can
yes,
just destroy
it,
them.
It is all ultimate. Like I think it was what Jon Snow said in that speech, right? Like we all have to band together. Or we're gonna fucking get killed. Like we're all gonna die.
Plus,
we all may die anyway.
That's what's weird to me about the show is like the most interesting parts are like. Between King's Landing and the Starks. And it's like, that's kind of on the background, and like, on top of that, everything can go in the background on top of these White Walkers, you know what I mean? Where it's like, all your little, like, arguments mean shit compared to these things that are just gonna kill everybody.
But I do kind of get what Pete's saying, though, is like, you spent four seasons, well, like, for the show, you spent four and a half seasons, kind of building up all these political things, and that's what kind of what everyone fell in love with, right? Is like,
well, to me, it's
the
like
political back and forth.
The battle, the last episode, was nothing compared to Tyrion on trial and saying, "I wish I killed you all." Like that was like, to me, that's like the highlight of the whole series.
Sure,
fighting a bunch of zombies. Fuck, I could watch Walking Dead if I want to see that.
Well, I guess my question is, what's the end game now? Because like for the longest time, I've assumed that the end game is like Daenerys, like you know, coming in and doing her thing and like. You know, fucking everybody up and taking what's hers and stuff like that, right? But now there's these White Walker things, so, like, where does that fit?
Yeah, it definitely muddies the water, like, especially since Danny doesn't even know about them. Like, the fact most people don't even believe about them, like...
Yeah, they talk about them in, like, one of the seasons, is like, yeah, right, they're bullshit.
What,
you know
like,
what I'm talking about?
I mean...
Like, their stories, like, you know? Like, their ghost stories to
yeah,
scare
it's
children.
Like the council, Lannisters are like, yeah, people talk about that shit, but it's bullshit, you know?
Well, even... I think it was this year, right? Like, I believe it was this year where John's in charge and he sent off requests to everybody for men.
Yeah, and they're like, can you believe that shit?
Yeah, it's like, we're not sending men for, like, to fight fairy tales or something like that. Like yeah, so nobody believes this shit's coming, and... Yeah, I don't know what the end game is, though, because... The waters are really muddied. There's two... very branching points here.
Yeah.
And then you have Bran up in, like, the north. He
hasn't
not
been
in
seen, yeah.
Well, he won't. He was not in this season at all.
Good.
Yeah, right. His shit.
Sorry to say, I hate that storyline. It sucks.
Yeah. But it probably special. Ties in
yeah,
very much to this. Yeah. But it's like I think you're right, Jeff. Like they do the best stuff with the Lannisters and the Targaryens and the Starks.
Yeah.
Like when they're playing with those three families, like it makes it's at its best. And when they're dealing with some of this other supernatural stuff, it's maybe not as strong. Anyway,
have faith. Maybe we'll get
We
have
two episodes left.
Yeah, two at the end of the season. I'm already prepared to say no matter what happens, this has been like the worst season. But good shit can happen.
I mean, I'm not. Sure to say that yet, because I thought that third season was pretty dull up until maybe, like, the Red Wedding stuff. Like, third season had some issues. Fourth season was good, because they had, like, a purpose. Like, there was an end game that we knew that it was heading to. Like,
right.
You know, with the trial and all that stuff.
that.
Right? Jeff's literally dying.
I'm back.
Well, Game of Thrones season 5 is over in 2 weeks, so we'll know. We'll know where it's going and have to wait another year before we get more, so.
That'll be something.
It's gonna be this Dexter. Went out too long. They fucked it up.
Well, their goal, I think, is to end at seven seasons, whether he's done with the books or not. Like, so I'm curious. I mean, you know, as this is, I've heard from everyone is that they don't kind of give a shit about the books anymore.
No, and in some way that could be good, and in some way
from
that
what
could
I've
bad,
heard, so. Everything. I'm real glad they haven't been giving a shit about the books because they could have gone in some really stupid directions.
Yeah, I am stuck on the fifth book. It just totally lost me. Like, because it's a lot like this season though, where shit is just spinning its wheels.
Yeah.
Like nothing is happening, and it's just thousands and thousands of pages of nothing going on, and it's like, oh god. So I'm excited to not know what's coming next. Like that's right? Kind of the fun part of this. Although I do know there's another battle coming, and I keep telling Jeff that.
Well, hopefully there is. Hopefully there's something good.
There's a battle coming to Winterfell. Like,
yeah,
it is going to happen. I believe it's going to happen this season, but they've been building up to it all season long. It would be total shit if they were like, we'll hold that till next season.
That would be funny. It just, like, ends, like, right. The battle in, like, a weird...
Like, yeah, they show, like, Stannis up on, like, a horse or something, and... and then it just like cuts to the end of the season. Like, oh, what the hell? All right. Well, let's call it a night here, guys.
Reed.
It's been fun. And we'll be back next week. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.